Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hey, we're back. Throwback Thursday, 5 years ago, Donald Trump exited the world of self-created celebrity, business person, reality TV star, whatever, and entered the world of politics and started holding his rallies. And, you know, now, a couple of disclaimers. Number one, Trump is doing like 74 bazillion rallies a day. I am not paying attention to, I don't know, more than 2% of them. But I believe that I would see the highlights, meaning the lowlights, of anything negative going on at any Trump rallies all over, as Trump calls it, the fake TV stations, the fake news stations. And I'm remembering, where'd they go? 5 years ago, I was talking about this with a client today. 5 years ago, there were all kinds of disruptors at Trump rallies, right? There were all kinds of protesters outside, not letting people in, not letting them get back out and go to their car without getting eggs thrown on them and getting beat up and all kinds of nonsense. And at the rallies, there would always be some kind of trouble, rabble-rouser or two for Trump to threaten, hey, I'll pay your legal bills if you punch that guy in the mouth. And you know, remember, all that kind of fun stuff was going on. And I'm like, you know, in my opinion, of course, this is just my opinion. I don't have data to back this up, as I do with most of the stuff that I share here. But I believe it's because the detractors aren't going anywhere near a Trump rally. I mean, they're the ones choosing to live in fear and in under control by the government instead of the land of the free and the home of the brave. They like to be the land of the overregulated and overcontrolled and the home of the fearful. And so I'm just thinking about the mindset of an anti-Trumper showing up at a Trump rally. They're like, no, 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 you go. I'm not going. You think I'm going to stand around thousands of people breathing all over me, standing too close with no masks, and I'm going to get this virus. And, ooh, I might cough a little bit for a couple of days. Like, they're in so much fear, they're following their leader, Biden, locking themselves in the basement, putting some kind of a small piece of cloth across a little part of their face, even when they're 20 feet away from everybody and outdoors. I mean, they're doing all kinds of fearful, stupid, meaningless things. And so maybe that's why we don't see them at the Trump rallies. They're not going into that place. They're not going to hang around. Second of all, perhaps the Trump security has improved. One thing is the brilliant stroke of genius of Trump. I think it was a necessity being the mother of invention. He had to move the rallies because of the, you know, the overwhelming wrath. How dare you have these people indoors? He's like, oh, yeah, we'll go outdoors. And by putting them in airports, every single one of his rallies now that I can see, somebody let me know if I'm off. Again, I'm not following it incredibly closely, but they all seem to be at airports. I know that since I'm living here in a swing state in Arizona, Trump and his vice president, his family and kids and whatever, they're here all the time. And whenever I see it on the news or on TV or somewhere like Trump is, it's always it's coming to an airport in Tucson, to an airport in Goodyear, to an airport in Prescott, to an airport here, to an airport there. So the genius of this is, number one, for security. Hey, coach, good seeing you. So number one, for security reasons, airports are already pretty much the most secure places in the country. And so gone are these Trump rallies being held at arenas where they, you know, the protesters block the traffic and harass all the attendees before and after the event. And there's all kinds of protests and all kinds of nonsense, and it's tough to park, and you have to walk a long way for the parking, and Trump has to, you know, to have the plane go to an airport and then get in a motorcade and then all the traffic, and they can block those roads and cause trouble, and he's just causing trouble, just any president at all that comes visiting any city, shuts the whole thing down for a little while due to all the security and the motorcades. Well, now all it is Air Force One pulls right up to the venue. just pulls right up on the runway. Trump walks down the stairs, up the stairs onto the stage, and boom. When he's done, back down the steps of the stage, back up the steps of the Air Force One, and he's off to the next city to do 3, 4, 5, 7, however many he's doing in a day, right? And another point, by the way, just as an aside, people were like, man, and it's just repetitive. You know, if I've watched a couple or seen that, he just says, and anytime I turn on a TV and just see what's going on and he's on, I feel myself unable to tear away. I can't tear away like watching an auto race. Like if it was just cars going around the track, obviously you could tear yourself away. But the thought of at any minute there could be a crash and something crazy could happen, people watch the thing. And that's why I found myself, I think yesterday, the day before, I watched one of these for almost an hour. I was like, what did I just do in the middle of the day? I turned it on and I was like, you know, he's going to go off teleprompter at some point and say something ridiculously stupid and crazy and ridiculous. And I just can't tear myself away. I got to see it. And then the hour went by. He hadn't said anything, his typical Trump stuff, but it wasn't outrageously newsworthy, crazy, off the rail stuff. And I was like, there I was, just like all these pro-Trumpers at these rallies. Like somehow I just stayed there for the whole hour and watched the thing. But then he goes off to the next city. And other than the 5 minutes where he says hello to the local politicians and whatever, it's the exact same thing again and again and again. Well, somebody was saying, how can he do it? Isn't he bored out of his mind? It's all repetitive. I'm like, who is Donald Trump? Donald Trump is a self-described salesman from Queens. What do salesmen do? I've been in sales, marketing, advertising my whole life. What does a salesperson do once he gets the script that works? Goes deliver it over and over and over. Man, when I was in door-to-door sales, we were seeing 100, going into 100 doors a day. That's 100 times a day minimum. Sometimes we talk to 2, 3, 4 people in a place. So we would talk to 2, 3, 400 people a day and say the same thing over and over and over. Because when you find a script, a sales script that works, that's what you do. What does a rock band do when they go on the road? They play the same songs over and over and over and over, except they're 40 years younger than Trump. They can't possibly work anywhere near as hard as him. So can you imagine any rock band doing a show for over an hour, playing their heads off outside, sweating, the crowd going crazy, and then being done and going, okay, we're done. Let's hop on a plane and go do it in the next town. Let's do it again. Let's do 3 or 4 of these in a day. Like, unheard of. Trump is just a workaholic. He's just out working since his opponent can barely, speak. Doesn't even know where he is half the time and locks himself in his own basement. Trump is out working him, like, unbelievably. Like, is there, the people to be crying and moaning on when the election results are announced or become final or whatever, like, looking back, was there really any question what was going on here? Did really think Americans are that stupid? They're going to vote for some old, ridiculous, broken-down, senile guy compared to this guy with more energy and more gusto, and he wants it more, and he's out there giving 100%, but I digress. So here's the lesson. The anti-Trumpers not showing up at the rallies, I believe, because they don't want to be there. They don't want to be anywhere. They're afraid to leave their basements without, covering their face and bringing along wipes and putting hand sanitizer on 47 times a day. Like, they just choose to live in fear. So here's the thing. Is now the time to start hosting in-person seminars and events again? I've hosted hundreds and hundreds of them for entrepreneurs over the years, and I have not done so for months. And I was speaking to one of my clients today and said, the thing is, if I hosted an event now, half the people in America are choosing to live in fear. Now, I live here in the suburbs of Phoenix, Arizona. If I lived in the city, it's overwhelmingly fear-based. But out in the suburbs, people are normal, have brains in their heads. They're normal thinkers. They understand everything in life is a risk. What, are you not going to drive in a car? You're not going to ever go, on a roller coaster, skiing, skydiving, ziplining. There's a bazillion things more dangerous than walking around past somebody who's not wearing some piece of cloth on a little part of their face. Like, give me a break. But, so I'm like, still, there's a whole bunch of people that wouldn't show up. So the events would be smaller. And then I caught myself, and that's what I'm here to share with you, is I believe the silver lining is, but you know what? even though I'd have less people at the event. Those are the exact people I want to work with. Those are the exact people I want to help. Those are the people I want to hang around. Those are the people I want to talk to, right? So if instead I would have gotten 40, 50 people in an event that I promoted a little bit and held it a year ago, and now I'd only get 20 or 25 people, but man, those 20, 25 people are not living in fear, locked in their basement, following a guy who, you know, wears cloth on his face even when there's nobody within 50 feet, locks himself in the basement half the time when he's supposedly running for office. Dude, by the way, you're running for office. You might want to get out of your basement and kind of lead the people by example instead of leading them in fear, which, I mean, has possibility of winning, but almost never wins. And that's another side lesson, by the way, in your business. Fear is a good motivator to get people's attention, but you're not going to lead them with fear. You can get their attention with fear, but you got to lead them with positivity, with positive results, especially if you're in politics. But anyway, so that is my tip, is don't make the mistake of not wanting to host an in-person event because you'll get less attendance. Of course you'll get less attendance, but the attendees are going to be the positive thinking, results-oriented, aggressive, growth-minded business owners. In my case, that's who you want to deal with. If you're doing business events, you want people that are saying, I'm an entrepreneur. Risk is the life I've chosen. I'm the 10% of Americans that own businesses. We are in a risk every day. The 90% is afraid, for the most part, to run a business. Oh, but what if I need a steady paycheck? I need benefits. What if it doesn't work? Hey, welcome to the life of a business owner and entrepreneur. We wake up every day knowing what if our business would crumble today. We'll just build it back up again, or we'll start something new, or whatever. So we don't live in fear. We take a risk all the time. And so if there's a risk involved with driving on a highway, there's a risk involved with driving in a snowstorm or when it's raining out, or there's a risk with going to an event when there's a virus going around that kills 1% of the people that catch it and less than 1% of the people catch it. So you got like a 1 in 1,000 chance of dying from something. Like if that's going to keep you at home and not going to an event, I don't want to be around you. I don't want to work with you. So the good news is this virus is an automatic weeder outer of the losers. It's fantastic. So actually less people at your event, just like having less prospects. You know, I went through this with business owners for years when I spent my 3.5 years as a consultant to advertisers with a Yellow Page company. And they would say, I'm not getting enough calls, not getting enough calls. I want more calls from my ad. And I'm like, you don't want more calls from the ad. You want more customers, more clients, more patients, more members from your ad. You don't want more calls. I can get you more calls. I'll just put a big headline that says, free pizza with everyone who calls. Like, you don't want a lot of calls. You want the good calls. You want, technically, you want less calls, right? You want not to be sitting there overloaded with phone calls and, oh, you know, lines are so busy, leave a message, I'll call you back, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, I got to rush through these. You would like to get, say, 3 really solid, great calls a day. Have your salesperson spend half an hour on the phone with them or go out to their place and spend half a day. Really quality calls. You want less calls. You want less customers. You want less patients. You want less members. You want less clients. Unless you're running a Walmart or a McDonald's. And believe me, Coca-Cola, those are companies that make money on high volume, low quality. And let's quickly get them in and out right through the drive-thru and get on with them, right? I work with people, my clients, and the people I help. And if you're watching my videos or reading this or listening to it, however you're getting this, it's likely you want to have higher profits, higher margins, make more money with less clients, right? That's less problems, less people you have to deal with, less leads you have to deal with, less calls you have to make, less people you have to help. And you get to help them deeper and better, more profoundly, and they win more and you win more, right? So it's like having a even better than a fine dining restaurant compared to McDonald's. It's like being a private chef. It's like being a private chef. You charge primo dollars, but you go right into someone's house, you go into their kitchen, and you make whatever they want for their dinner guests of 8 people, and you charge them the big money they're willing to pay for that personal attention, and then you go home. Like, if you ask me, any chef would rather have that gig than be flipping burgers at McDonald's. Just my guess. And that's my hope for you, for all business owners, is to quit the game of the high volume, low quality, snap them in and out stuff, and get into the really solving some problems, changing the world, transformation, making big differences in people's lives. They make a lot more money. You get paid accordingly. The world's a much better place. So you want higher quality. And right now, it's a great weeder outer. This virus that some people have chosen to be irrationally, deathly afraid of. Now, of course, the people that have two or more comorbidities, you know, they're over 70 and they have a heart condition or diabetes or asthma, lung things, cancer, whatever it is, obviously those people should not be attending events. They should be locked in a basement and hanging out and hoping there's a vaccine or a cure or something and waiting for this to blow over like all viruses do. They just kind of go away after a while. But everyone else, certainly entrepreneurs that are out building businesses, ought to be out and going to your event. And if they don't, because they're operating out of fear, well, they're going to, in my case, not going to take any of my advice. My advice takes somebody being bold, takes somebody to be a leader, to be the leader in their industry or in their area. Takes being bold, takes being getting out there, not being a follower and wait until everything's perfect and but I don't know, am I allowed to do that? Like, if I run that ad, Facebook might shut down my account. Yeah. If you're advertising effectively, Facebook is going to shut down your account once in a while because you're going right up to the line of what's allowed so you can have maximum effectiveness for your ads. And once in a while, either you went over the line or Facebook just said you went over the line. Okay, that ad account's gone. Start a new ad account. That's all, right? I've gotten shut out by newspapers. Talk about the Yellow Pages. I've had ads disallowed at the Yellow Pages, online, offline. I've had direct mail pieces not allowed by the postmaster. I'm not mailing that out. You've got to change it and do this and that and whatever before I'm going to mail it out. Blah, blah. I've had all kinds of things happen. That's what happens when you're out there and you're doing the right thing. And you're not hiding in your basement or afraid to show up at an event. So that's the silver lining, is the anti-Trumper disruptors seem to not be showing up at the Trump rallies. And the fearful, non-action-taking, cowering in fear, afraid to make a decision people are also not likely to show up at your in-person events right now. So go for it, I say, and attract the right people. And you don't even have to weed them out from the wrong ones because only the right ones are showing up right now at in-person events. Love it. And that'll do it for Throwback Thursday. I'll be back here tomorrow on Foundation Friday. Thanks for being here today. I'll catch you tomorrow. Over and out. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making.